Hey friends, welcome back to Living Well-Rounded. I am excited about today's show because it is an episode I've been wanting to do for a long time. And the opportunity presented itself that one of my dear friends, Natasha Wright, was the perfect guest for this particular topic. Today we are chatting all about grief, grief, loss, and just how it impacts our everyday life, what it looks like, because it may not be what you think. So make sure you, keep listening as we dive into what grief and loss may look like. But it is also a great show for someone who feels like they want to support someone that is dealing with loss and grief and all the things. So we definitely talk about how to do that. The show is awesome because it also leaves you with some tangible tips and action items that you can implement into your life if you are a person that has suffered tremendous loss, grief, and all the things. So before I invite Natasha into the chat, let me tell you all about my friend Natasha Wright. So Natasha Wright is an experienced brand strategist specializing in empowering high-achieving creatives to gain alignment and clarity. With a proven track record of helping clients overcome mental roadblocks, her tailored approach ensures you not only gain momentum, but also move forward with unparalleled clarity and confidence. Natasha is also a certified life coach, certified grief specialist, and host of Purpose to Create, a podcast for creatives navigating life and business. All right, friends, so let's give a warm welcome to Natasha and get into today's chat. So I'm so excited to have you. I'm very excited because, as I told you, I've been trying to figure out how I'm going to get my friend on the show, and here we are. Not the best topic, but it is purposeful, and I think that is, the best way to go about it. But, Natasha, welcome to Living Well-Rounded. Introduce yourself to the people who may not know you.
I'm so excited to be here. I've been waiting for a long time to be on the show, and I'm so excited. Who would have thought that we would be on the show talking about the topic we'll be talking about today? I would have never guessed it.
And it wasn't, like I told you, I've been trying to get you on the show forever, but I was waiting for the right opportunity because you are very multifaceted in what you do. You are amazing at all the things that you do, but I do feel, and I felt called to bring you on the show to talk about grief. Because at the time when I was writing out who was going to be on the show, I was in a really troubling season myself, even almost 14 years later of dealing with my own grief. And it was something on my spirit that said, you need to have Natasha talk about this topic of grief. Because I don't think people realize that it could be 10 days, it could be 10 years. That pain is still going to be there. But we'll get into all of that later. But Natasha, introduce yourself before I keep going on and on and on about how amazing you are.
Thank you so much. Hey, well-rounders. I'm so excited. My name is Natasha Wright. I'm so excited and blessed to be able to call Jamira my friend. And I am a girl's girl. Before I jump into what I do, I want to talk about who I am because I feel like who I am is much more cooler and exciting than the titles that I'm given. Most people would consider me a business strategist, a business coach. More recently, I'm a certified life coach. I'm a certified grief recovery method specialist, which simply means that I'm able to help people recover quicker from grief. And that is something that I can't wait to share more about my journey, what led me to becoming certified in grief recovery a little bit later on. But those are just some of the things that describe what I do, who I am. I'm a friend. I'm a cheerleader. I'm a listener. I hold space for my friends. I hold space for my family. I'm an empath. So I'm very empathetic. I'm compassionate. So I think that all of those things make up who I am and what I do. If we were to kind of sum up those things, and especially how I got into the grief space, I think all of those characteristics lend itself to the work that I'm called to do in this season and helping women and people in general. Specifically, I'm called to creative entrepreneurs and helping them to overcome and heal through grief so that they can continue their purpose to create. Because a lot of times when we experience challenges and setbacks, we often get stuck and we don't know how to move forward. So I'm really excited about this season that I'm in.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you're killing it per usual in this season that you're in. But let's segue a little bit because everything has not always been, you know, amazing and flowers and gumdrops and all the things. And you and I have a special bond because you are in a club of, you know, female women who are still trying to navigate life, but we're trying to navigate life without our mothers, our parents, you know, that we may have been very close to. So I want to ask you, Natarsha, like, what has been your personal experience with grief and your personal loss story?
So they intertwine my personal experience with grief and my grief story. I think that I started to recognize my grief story maybe a couple years before pandemic. I started to experience a lot of loss in my family, in my immediate family. I think like every 6 months from about 2018, 2019, I was losing an immediate family member back to back. And it started out on my mother's side of the family and then my father's side of the family during pandemic year. And I was losing somebody very quickly. They were just passing away in my family. And I wasn't at the time, I wasn't really, now hindsight looking back, I wasn't really grieving those losses properly. You know, I attributed to the, you know, that I come from a large family. I have 8 on my mom's side, 8 on my dad's side. So I come from a really large family, lots of cousins, and, you know, I just attribute it to old age, you know, their, you know, 80s and 90s and things like that. It started with the matriarch of our family. Once my grandmother passed away, I never allowed myself to grieve that loss. And then shortly thereafter, just like my aunts and uncles just started to pass shortly thereafter. And then coming into 20, a year after the pandemic, I lost my first cousin, and that was, he was about to turn 40. He passed away a week or so before his birthday. And he and I's birthday are 3 days apart. He was like my best friend growing up. So I lost my first cousin. And that was also the first time I was able to see my mother after pandemic because we were on lockdown. So that was the first time I seen my mother in a year after at my cousin's funeral. And I saw all my aunts and uncles and cousins and stuff like that. And then 4 weeks later, my mother passed away from COVID. No, 6 weeks later, my cousin passed away. 2 weeks later, I turned 40. And then I just had such a sadness, but also happiness. Sadness because my cousin wasn't here and we couldn't celebrate our 40s together. And then, and with his loss, it just happened in his sleep. So it wasn't, you know, it just happened suddenly. And so we didn't really have time to grieve that loss. I turned 40. And then a couple weeks later, my mother had passed away. I turned 40 at the beginning of April, and my mom died 20 days later after my birthday. And so that happened very suddenly. So my mother, she passed away from COVID. And that, we thought it was pneumonia or something because she was in early childhood education for 22 years. And so she had to go back to work early. And, you know, just in the commute going back and forth and things like that, she ended up catching COVID. We thought, again, it was a pneumonia, but she called and she just was like, "Hey, Tosh, I'm really not feeling well." And I was like, "Oh, Mom, you know, take a nap. Everything will be okay. Take some ginger ale. You know how we do. Some ginger ale. Go lay down. You know, go lay down." That's what she would tell me to do. Yeah. So, you know, I told her that. And a couple hours later, she called and she said, "No, something's not right." So she said, "Can you come take me to the emergency room?" So I went, took her to the emergency room. And it was the last time I saw my mother when I dropped her off, because during that time we couldn't go into the hospital at all. Right. And that was like, you know, you never think that when you drop somebody off, that's the last time you're going to see them. And so 7 days later, we got the call that she had passed away. Everything happened so quickly. Mm-hmm. It was like, we dropped her off in the emergency room that Sunday, that following Monday, that's when we got the call. And things just rapidly, things had gotten better before they got worse. So that Sunday before we got the call, we were actually preparing for my mother to come home. We were preparing for her to come home. We talked to the outpatient nurse. I was going to have her come stay at my house because I didn't want her to be at her apartment alone. And so I was just making arrangements for her to be here with me so that I can just care for her until she got better. And then the next call I got after the outpatient nurse was the doctor letting me know that you know, she had passed away and they were trying to revive her and resuscitate her for like an hour and it just did not, she was gone.
I just think that, to your point, you never know when it's the last time you're going to see someone. And when you operate with that mindset, it forces us to show up, you know, more intentionally and to love on people in a whole different manner. I know for me, you know, I've spoken about it on this show plenty of times, but losing, when you lose your person, my mom was my person. I say she was my compass. When you lose your person, you have a whole new lens, you know, you have a whole new compass. You have to figure it out, you know, on your own. And yes, to your point too, like my mom got better before she got worse. So it's like, it's a roller coaster. You're like up and you're like, okay, we're going to beat this and then, you know, you don't. And so you have so many questions. You're questioning a lot of things. I know personally for me, I'm, you know, a Christian woman. I was angry with God for a very long time. You know, I did my own therapy and counseling, and I tell people that's, you know, that was my saving grace as well. And as you mentioned with your family members, I didn't grieve my loss with my mom for maybe a year and a half until, you know, after she passed. Like, I don't think people realize with grief, it can sneak up on you and it'll just hit you whenever. And it's not like someone dies and now I'm sad. A lot of us are in action mode. You just said, right. You know, we're doers. So we keep busy on purpose. Cause I know I did, because I didn't want to face, you know, what that reality was, you know, for me personally. So it's just, it's a lot. And I do remember that season that you were in. I remember it vividly. Like you were just getting hit left and right with so much loss and heaviness during a season that was supposed to be just so exciting, because, you know, us millennials, 40 out here, and it's supposed to be exciting and you think you're going to be celebrating it with people. And then, you know, that's not always the case. But I want to ask you, like, through this whole grief process, like, what self-discoveries or things have you learned about yourself personally?
For myself, I'm going to put a pin in that for a second, because I want to go back and piggyback on something that you mentioned, which I think is really important, which led me to this self-discovery where I'm at right now with self-discovery. So you mentioned that, you know, your grief hit you, you know, maybe a year later, mm-hmm. and that you had therapy and everything like that to turn to help. I'm the complete opposite, where my therapist at the time, she didn't like specialize or work with grief patients. So at the time, the therapist that I had, I couldn't process my grief in real time with her. Definitely, she advised me to look for another therapist who focused on that. But as you can imagine, I did not have a capacity to look for a therapist mm-hmm. at that time. Right, so right. It's very difficult to process a loss in real time and find another therapist. So I actually did not find another therapist. I kept working with the one that I did because I just didn't have capacity to. And I did find a grief group though. And I did a grief group for about 8 weeks. And that one was specific to COVID. So I did a COVID loss one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that was really cool. But after 8 weeks, I still needed support.
Right, right.
And so for me, unfortunately, I didn't have any additional support. I often felt isolated because with COVID, it's just a unique situation. Like a lot of people are not able to really relate in that unless, you know, your parent specifically passed away from COVID. So I found myself connecting with the ladies from my grief group. But even that was very depressing because I'm a very optimistic person and I want to see the story and the lesson and the blessing out of it. And so, because I experienced so much loss, you know, sometimes 2 or 3 times a month. So like in one day we had lost a aunt and a cousin. And then probably like the following week, we had lost an uncle. I can't remember like the specifics, but our losses were happening. What I now come to find out, very compound losses, like just back to back to back to back. We really didn't have no time to process. And so with that, with the addition of my cousin and my mother, it just kind of like it hit ahead for me. Mm-hmm. And I become to put myself into my work. Mm-hmm. And that is a common myth about grief, is that, you know, keep busy. Keep busy is probably one of the thing when we talk about the self-discovery. Keeping busy for me led to depression and anxiety, which I discovered about 9 months later. My doctor, he told me, he was like, you have to, my depression scores were so low. And he was like, you have to take off work right now. So with my job, although I notified them that I lost my parent to grief, and this is kind of where I feel like this is why I'm starting to get more into grief work, is because my job didn't know how to care for me or handle me, because they end up putting me on a work project that was related to COVID in the workplace. And so
triggering.
Yeah, very triggering. It's very triggering. Huh. And when people just, they lack the empathy, the compassion, yeah, they don't really care if you have a loss. So you spoke about being angry with God. I was angry with God too. Mm-hmm. I was angry with him for a lot of reasons. And, you know, part of it is working in a workplace where you don't feel seen or valued by your employer. And you feel like I had to go back to work right away. So I went back to work right away. Not that I had to, but it kept me busy. But this is one of the common myths about grief, is that we have to keep busy. But what I've learned about that in that whole process is that that's something passed down from generations. Mm-hmm. Right? If you look back about the things that you've learned about how to handle grief, stems from your childhood and how you grew up. Mm-hmm. And with that, it shows up in our adult life and how we handle situations and how we navigate grief. So, for example, in this whole discovery process and discovering, I had lost my identity because I didn't know who I was anymore without my mother, because a lot of the work that I was doing as an entrepreneur and just as a person, period, is that I was trying to build a better life for my family so that I can retire my mother. And so with her not being here, it was like, what am I working towards now? Mm-hmm. Which is why I'm in this space of like, I really don't know who I am anymore. I don't know the work that I'm supposed to be doing anymore, because all the work that I was doing, it was to build a better life so that my mother could just rest. Mm. And so now it's like, that's not my why anymore. So now I'm in this discovery phase of, well, what's my why now?
Hmm. Now that's like, that's profound in so many ways. I feel like I'm almost the opposite. Like, I'm now in a space of legacy. So I never was working to, you know, retire my mom. I lost her when I was 26. So I wasn't even thinking about big time stuff like that. But for me, it was more like everything that I did and how I moved was to just make sure I pleased her. Not that she was one of those parents, you know, like, you know, Joe Jackson or anything out here, making sure you was doing all the things, but like, I just wanted to make her proud. And every day I wake up with that same sentiment, like, I just want to make her proud more than anything. And so it changes how you move. And so my movements changed after she passed away, because I'm like, I can't let you down. You worked very hard for me to get to where I am. But then I always ask myself sometimes too, like, is that a healthy thing to live up to a standard, or put yourself in a situation to live up to a standard that you created for yourself, but you will never know if you hit the mark. She just can't tell me if I, you know, did a good job or any of that. Other people are like, oh, your mom will be so proud. And that's a double-edged sword, because it hurts to hear, because you will never know. You'll never know the answer.
Right.
So I'm like, my new philosophy is, as long as I'm doing my best and it's intentional, that's all I can do. But it is hard when you, like I said, your compass is no longer there and it's crushed. How do you now move? What is your new identity? What are your new actions? And I think that's something that we have to figure out for ourselves so that we can move on properly and in a healthy manner. You know, for sure. Because that's not good, you know, moving the way I feel like I had been moving.
Yeah. No, I definitely understand it. You know, for me, you know, that being my compass was because my mother sacrificed so much so that my brother and I could live, right? You know, when my parents divorced, we ended up becoming homeless for a period of time. And so she was working like, you know, two jobs and just, busting her butt just to make sure that she could provide for us. So I felt like when I got to, I've been working since I've been 14. So I've always had two jobs, you know, to help around the house and help my mom and stuff. And then when I left for college, I was like, boom, I'm out of here. But then when I got, I'm out of here, you can have this life. I don't want poverty anymore. I'm tired of poverty.
Do not recommend zero.
Do not recommend. Get me out of here ASAP. But in that, my mom was still in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said that when I got to a place where I can go back and get my mother, I was going to go back and get my mother.
Yes, yes, yes.
And so that's why I was just constantly always working. Yes. Two jobs. We're just working. I was so busy. Being busy has robbed me of a lot of opportunities to build a life with my mother.
Ooh, that's deep.
And what I mean by that is my mother thought I was so busy that she wouldn't want to call me. Or I would talk to her. The conversations would be very short. I know you're busy. I know you got a lot to do. All right. So I'll talk to you later. And be like, wait, I'm not that busy. I have to look that way online because that's the only way people will book me.
Listen, yes, that, all of that. That's just how our culture is, unfortunately, right?
Right.
Looking busy, but the reality of it is it's a facade.
Yeah. Yeah.
And processing that. And it's just the sadness too. Like, she's giving you grace to make space for the things that are your dreams.
Right.
But the reality of it is how you use the term, like, you know, robbed you of time that you, you know, we cannot get back.
Right.
And that's a tough pill to swallow for sure.
Yeah.
Hmm. So I was going to say, like, looking back on like this whole grief journey and all the things that you were on, what do you wish you would have known? Because there will be people who are listening that have never experienced the type of loss that you have experienced or the loss that I've experienced, you know, at our age. But it will happen, you know, one day. We all aren't going to be here forever. But what do you wish you would have known about grief before having to actually walk through it and navigate the process?
This is a really great question. I was hoping you would ask me something like this.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
And the reason why is because grief is not just death or divorce. Grief is not just death. Our experience is death, but people listening have experienced their own type of grief. They just don't recognize that they've experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can't put words to it or language to it or don't know how to articulate it.
Mm-hmm.
So what I mean by that is when we look at how we define grief, how most of us know grief to be is that there are stages to grief.
Mm-hmm.
That is not true. There are not stages to grief because everybody's experience is unique to them. Grief is not linear. What we've learned and adopted as a culture and society is that there are stages to grief. There's this Dr. Kubler-Ross. She had, did this study on the stages of grief for a group of people who were actually dying. And so the stages came from the different stages that those group of people were experiencing. Mm-hmm. But it was not meant to be adopted worldwide as the, you know, thing to hold on to when you're experiencing grief. Oh, you should be feeling this. I won't repeat them because I personally don't adopt that philosophy of stages of grief because you do not. I cannot tell you how you're going to experience your grief journey. It's no way because grief is not linear.
Right.
There's this ebbs and flows of it. So we're taught that there are these stages of grief, but they don't really apply to us. I am not dying. You know, I'm not going through that. So those are stages for someone who's doing that. She wanted to see kind of how they felt and track all of that. That's how we came up with these stages. But she even says it herself, this was not meant to be a worldwide, you know, adoption of this is how you process grief. So when that as a culture is something that we have just been drilled in our head that we're supposed to feel a certain way at a certain point, at a certain time. And if we don't feel it, then we're made to believe that something is wrong with us because we're not processing it in these stages of grief that we were told that we have to grieve a loss. And so, you know, when we think about that, I want to keep that as the like context, but also knowing that grief is a natural response to loss of any kind. We're all, as human beings, we're all going to experience grief.
Mm-hmm.
It's the emotional loss of any kind. And so, like, different things from, like I mentioned, death or divorce are just some. But again, those two get labeled grief more. But you may resonate with this. You may have had a loss of a pet, a loss of, you know, health status, a loss of a job, a loss of a business, a move. Mm-hmm. You can get when you move from one state to another or around the block or wherever, a move, a you can experience is a loss. You can experience grief from that. You know, friendships, that's a huge one that gets overlooked, that people do not talk about. Friendship loss hurts very bad.
Yeah, absolutely. And grief, and I don't, and you make great points that people assume when you hear the word grief, you think death, but death can be, you know, death of a friendship, death of the pet, death of what you thought your identity should have been, you know. And when you now have to realize that it ain't happening, like you ain't getting that job, you're not getting that man, that's its own loss.
Yes.
Process it as such. And kind of sit in it and figure out what you need to do to learn and to move on and to grow. Because, yeah, friends are seasonal in some in situations, and jobs can be seasonal, and just relationships can be seasonal. But it is okay to acknowledge it and to process it. Thank you, Lord, for the lesson. But now we need to move on.
Right, exactly. When people don't know, when people don't know how to identify the emotion that they feel with it, it is kind of like you have all of this and you don't know. I don't know how to describe to you mm-hmm. how I feel about it. I don't know how to articulate what I want to say. So when people feel this, this is the type of thing where it's important to have therapy, have someone who can really help you navigate kind of these feelings and emotions that you're experiencing. Because the other thing when we experience grief, the other things that come along with that is, we are also mourning the loss of the dreams, hopes, and desires attached to the thing that we lost. Mm. Right? These are things that are not going to be able to happen now that I've had this loss, whether it's a job. Oh, I really hoping I was going to get this promotion. Well, the other things tied to that promotion was I was going to be able to, you know, buy this house. I was going to be able to go on vacation. I was going to be able to buy this ring for my someone you wanted to propose to, whatever the case may be. Everything attached now to that, that you didn't get, the rest of those dreams go with it. And you don't get to fulfill the thing that you want with it.
That is so deep. Because let me tell you, one of the hardest things that I deal with on a daily basis is looking at my children and knowing what my mom missed, what she's missing out on, and looking at my kids and knowing what they are missing out on by not knowing who she was. That is one of the hardest things I deal with on a daily basis, of just the, like, I look at my kids now and my son will do something funny and I'm like, my mom would have cracked up at that. I look at my daughter and how she treats me sometimes and I'm like, my mom would have given me the side eye, like, that was you. You know, it's just the loss of the things that could have been, should have been, would have been, that you can't ever go back and, you know, fix and try to make better. I had that conversation with my husband on Sunday, literally in tears, just with my birthday coming up, like, okay, how she would have celebrated me is a very hard thing to process. Like, now I'm trying to just think about how, instead of just having the sadness that she won't be there, but still appreciating the people that will be there, is the mindset, to your point about being optimistic. You know, you cannot sit in the sorrow forever because it'll debilitate you. But I am trying to, you know, because grief will, like, it'll sneak up on you. I'm telling you, I'm almost 14 years in and it just doesn't care. And so now you have to, like, not today, and just say, okay, I'm going to focus on the positive and honor that person, or honor what it, how good it was when I did have it, or that friendship. You know, you can still reminisce on it, but still know that it served its purpose. Or, you know, because it's something you said about your mom, like, you know, she worked so hard and she did all the things. And as soon as you said that, I'm like, those are the people who are so hardworking, like our moms, that the Lord said, okay, it's time for you to rest. Like, you did what you set out to do. And look at your amazing, you know, daughter and kids, like, they are the fruits of your labor. And now I need you to rest because you've worked so, so hard. And that makes me go, okay, like I think about my mom's life and I don't think there's, besides watching us grow and be crazy, I feel like she did all the things, you know, she traveled, she had a full life. And that's what I aspire to live every day, to have a full life like that and not take it for granted, because she can't live her everyday life, but I can. So I'm not going to take that for granted at all.
Yeah. You know, no, I definitely understand. One of the things that like helps in the whole self-discovery piece, what really helps me to keep moving forward is knowing that my mother lived a full life. And I know that's not everybody's story with their grief loss, is that I know that my mother lived a full life. So I really don't have anything to be sad about, because when I did get to spend time with my mother up until I got, you know, older, and I, you know what, this is a question I always ask myself, how come when we get older and become adults, and I don't know if this is everybody's story, but we tend to, the relationships we had when we were younger in our families, like they begin to kind of fall off. And I recognized that with my parents. Once I got older, I didn't really spend as much time with them as I would have if I was younger. That's probably one of the things that I would go back and do differently, like just soak up all the times that I could.
Oh, yeah, we all would in a heartbeat. We would ditch anything on the calendar just to have one more day or one more hour, you know, with that person.
Yeah.
But it is as it is supposed to be, you know, and I'm, you know, we have to be okay with that. So what guidance would you offer someone that is grappling with grief, or someone that is sitting there in sorrow, feeling alone, and they don't know where to go or how to even process what they're dealing with?
Excuse my silence. I'm processing, because I put myself back in that situation where what do I wish I would have had? And this is a common thing that I recognize, is that grievers don't want to be fixed. They just want to be heard. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have anybody who could hear me, because everybody else was trying to navigate their own feelings around it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then you also don't want to feel like, you also don't want to feel like you're being a burden to others.
Right.
And in general, people don't know how to respond to grievers. They don't know how, what words to say. They try to say words to comfort grievers, but it ends up going way left. So it's just like, I'm just not going to say anything to anybody.
Yeah.
I'll just be quiet. And then with grieving, it tends to go into isolation. And so I do want to say to someone who may be grappling with grief, is to know that you're not alone. It's going to feel like it, yes, but you're not. And the reason why I know you're not alone is because there are so many people who are suffering in silence, because they don't think that people will hear them. They don't think that people will understand them. And if they say it to someone, it feels like it's a burden. But more importantly, they don't know how to articulate what they need or how they need it. One of the most common questions grievers get asked is from people is, you know, what do you need? How can I help you? And it's kind of like, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know. I actually just want you to leave me alone is what I, you know, what I want to say. But that is also not healthy either. But one, you're not alone. Two, it's hard now to see it, but it does get better over time, day by day, minute by minute, second by second. Every day is not going to be the same. So don't be hard on yourself. If you feel like, you know, you just can't stop crying, it's okay. I will say the biggest thing I will say is to honor your feelings and know that your feelings are valid and they matter.
Yeah.
And to guard your surroundings and the people that have access to you, because when you begin to be vulnerable with people, having the right people around you matter.
Absolutely.
Because if not, the wrong people around you can trigger you, and you will go, I don't want to say you'll go like deeper into, it makes you feel even more worse about your grief and your loss.
Yeah.
When you have the wrong people around. And this is what I've come to learn. The reason why that is so is because other people have not dealt with their own grief and loss and their own trauma around their grief and loss. And so a lot of people tend to project on you, trying to be helpful, and it's not very helpful. So I will also say, just kind of guard your circle is going to look very different, very different. The people who you thought were going to be there are not there. And the people who you didn't even consider to be there are there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going back and I remember the people who did show up in that season. But the importance of protecting your boundaries and your sanity and your space, that's just an everyday practice that I think we need to all have. But even more so when we can't see clearly because our hearts are so heavy, be mindful of who you let in and who has access to your feelings, I think is something that I've learned as I've gotten older, is that you can't share everything with everybody because they will never get it or they don't want you to win. So
yep.
You have to be mindful of those things as well.
Yeah. I, you know, in addition to that, I think the other thing too is lean into those who are leaning into you.
Absolutely.
Because the other thing that I learned is that although I was grieving the loss of my parent, I also was grieving the loss of friendships at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so I had to learn very quickly that what is my capacity to navigate grief? Do I want to give my attention to this friend loss that I'm navigating, or do I focus on my parent? Some things I just had to learn to let go, because those things were just not coming back around. I'm not going to chase anybody. I'm just not. And so it's, you're just like a lot of double grief going, a lot of compound grief happening. I think that one of the, a couple other things that come to mind in terms of how to navigate and deal with it is give yourself grace. You're not going to feel like it, but give yourself grace. And I think a lot of times I will always think, you know better than this. You pull yourself together. And I'm just like, yeah, no, I'm not pulling myself together. I'm going to lay in bed today. And, yeah. You know, I'm going to eat this food and I'm going to watch these movies and I'm going to cry and I'm going to listen to the songs my mother loved to listen to. And I'm going to have a cry fest. But I will have to have this disclaimer. Don't always do that as a way of connecting, because it creates deeper trauma wounds for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we do it as a way to connect, but it's also a trigger. So our connections also can be a trigger as well, from what I learned from my experience. So then I had to recognize, like, I actually was doing fine before I wanted to, you know, listen to this song as a way to connect with my mom or do this thing to connect with her. And then I realized, I was like, oh, wait, this is actually taking me really backwards.
Yeah.
That ain't it. And causing deeper trauma. So I had to be like, oh, wait, let me look at this differently on how I need to honor my feelings, feel connected to my loved one, and figure out. So give yourself grace. Know that you are not defined by your grief. It doesn't mean that that's who you are. Sometimes we take on the identity of that loss, and give yourself grace there. You're not defined by it. Other things that I say will be very helpful is find a release for it. Find a release for your grief. For me, mine was working out. I worked with a trainer probably about 3 months. So let me go back for just 2 seconds. I'm the oldest in my family. Well, with my mom and my dad, I'm the oldest. So I had to take care of all of the arrangements. So when she passed, the same night, I was already on the phone with the funeral home. So I didn't have time to grieve.
Yeah,
I literally went into planning, taking care of her affairs, her estate, all of those types of things. And it just kind of like, and with my mom, her memorial service was on Mother's Day weekend. So it was like the Saturday before Mother's Day, we had the memorial and then Mother's Day. So I was like, oh my God, whose idea was this? But that was the first, whose idea was this?
Terrible.
Whose idea was this? But that was the first available date that they had.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, and it was COVID time. So it was like,
oh, that was tough.
Because they were telling us months. And I was like, okay, God, it's above me now.
Yeah, you don't have to deal with that Mother's Day weekend date.
So I was like, oh my God, this is not healthy. What are we doing here? And so I've found coping mechanisms with that too. So I'm not always like depressed on Mother's Day weekend, because it's like my mother passed and then the following weekend was Mother's Day.
Yeah. My mom passed the week before Thanksgiving and we had plans to go out of town for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you have a flight that it will never be taken by the person, because they pass a few days before you're supposed to go on the trip, you know, was not, you know, ideal. So I get it. Loss around, you know, certain dates or milestones or holidays are also very triggering, you know, every year. So I totally
Right. What I've come to learn is that there are ways, from my experience, there are ways to help think in preparation for that, so that every year is not always like, I want to avoid this time of year. I want to avoid this. Mm-hmm. Like the day is going to come every year.
It's going to be there. Yep.
It's going to be there. It is how I'm going to cope and manage my own expectations and feelings. And I had to learn very quickly. And I will say this. I believe that grief has given me a voice that I didn't know I had. Hmm. And what I mean by that is I am usually one who's like, well, you know, okay, I'll go with the flow, you know. But my boundaries game, baby, I have learned to be a master communicator about boundaries. Because it's very important. Everybody will project on you. Like, for example, I get people who send texts around like the death date. I don't celebrate the death date, but everybody else do. Oh, we know that this is the day, you know, and they'd be like, we know you feeling sad today. I said, actually, I'm not. I wasn't until you sent that text. I was feeling good, you know, because I don't honor that date. I don't celebrate that date.
Yeah.
I celebrate her life. I celebrate her birthday. That's how I honor her. I don't. Yes. Yeah. Why would I keep triggering myself?
It is a trigger. Yes.
Why would I keep triggering myself like that? Why would I look? I'm looking forward to that date in anticipation. You know, next week is the, you know, the anniversary date. Okay. I don't know what to tell you. Like,
yeah. And if anybody's listening, because you just made me think of something and how I plan to move differently, you can take your power back. You can celebrate a birthday. You know, you don't have to celebrate the death day, because I will tell you, the death day for me is triggering, because now that I'm out of like the grief cloud, I recount what that week was like, and I recount the actual day and having to call all these people to tell them the news. So you literally get taken back every single year to the day and how it made you feel. And you don't, that's not good. Like, so let's celebrate. Let's talk about a birthday and let's honor the person on that day. But that death day anniversary, it's tricky because it takes you back. It's very traumatic, you know, and a lot of ways. No, I'm good. So thank you for that piece of information. And I encourage anybody that does, you know, hold that date, you know, give it that much power, to kind of take back your power and pick another day to just honor that person, because they deserve that, and not the negative, you know, feelings with the end of their life. But let's celebrate the whole life.
Yeah, like I want to celebrate and honor her life, because that's what mattered at the end of the day, is the life that she lived. She lived a full life.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so that's why I take great pride and joy in knowing that. And that's not everybody's stories. Their loved one may not have lived a full life. They probably had an estranged relationship with them and things like that. And that is okay. Everybody's story is going to be different. But the reality of the matter is how you choose to give that particular time, what scenario will you allow it to have?
Yeah.
You know, so it's like you said, take your power back. I'm taking my power back. That is not a day. I don't want to keep every year. I'm never going to heal. Never.
No, not.
Because you're going to keep reopening the wound.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Just when you, and grief is like this, like grief is here. It's going to be there. Right. There's always going to be something that is going to trigger a memory, trigger a smell, a favorite food, a music, a sound, weather, sound, whatever. Something is going to happen to bring up a memory, right? But the reality of the matter is, what am I going to give power to? Hold space in my life about this moment in time that happened, because when that happened, when the death happens or the loss, whatever it is, the world still goes around. People still is moving around. It's just you in this moment in silence, trying to figure out why isn't everybody else seeing this the way that I see it? Mm-hmm. Why don't nobody else feel the way that I feel about it? It is the it is not the death or the loss. It's the emotion that we give to it.
That's a word. Yeah. It's how we show up and how we react. Because at the end of the day, it's going to happen. It's just how you choose to invite that, you know, into your space.
Yeah, it's like this, like this, your grief right now can be little like this, because not, it's no anniversary, no birthday, no holiday, no nothing. So it's lessened now, but wait till we get closer to that time, that grief going to get bigger and bigger, 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 bigger.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then when those anniversaries go away, the dates go away, get smaller, smaller, smaller. It's still there. It ain't go nowhere.
It's a roller coaster. Yes.
Yeah.
Never ending. And you're like, get me off this ride.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's, yeah, that's how I felt about the whole cancer journey with my mom. Like, it's highs, lows, ups, downs, swoops and twirls. Get me off this ride.
Yeah.
I'm over it. You know, I'm totally over it. Mm-hmm. Well, I think you definitely, I know there's someone out there that is in a season of grief, or, you know, still trying to process loss of, in some capacity. And so you brought up a lot of great tips, and I really appreciate you sharing your story, because I, like I said, I remember that season you were in, and I'm like one of the strongest people I know, because there's no way a lot of us would have survived that whole season that you had, you know, had to deal with. But let's switch gears a little bit, because you are a fun person. And we don't need, like, to end on, you know, solemn and sad, you know, situation, because, again, you're more optimistic and positive. So we're going to have a little fun. I'm doing new games this season. So I'm going to ask some this or that questions, or just some straight up questions. And so we'll make it rapid fire super quick.
Wow.
Here we go. Would you be, if you had to choose between the two, a firefighter or a police officer, which one would you be?
I would be a police officer.
Police officer. Okay. Because?
I tried to be one in the past before.
Okay. Another podcast.
For my many careers.
Protect and serve. Which leads us, yes, to the next question. What, you said you have been working since you were 14. What job, mm-hmm, did you, what was one of your first jobs?
McDonald's.
Okay. I mean, that's classic. It's like the American staple.
Yeah, but this is where I learned excellent customer service skills, and I still hold those to this day.
That's awesome. If you did not get into the creative space as, like, a coach, you obviously, you're a beast in photography, you're a coach, strategist, all the things. What other job do you think you would be doing as, like, a career?
Ooh, a professional organizer.
Really?
Yeah, I love organizing.
Always, like, put together. And it's its own vibe. So I can totally see that one. And you're also well-traveled. So my next question is, remember our trip to Mexico? Remember?
Yes. Oh my God. I just was looking. It just came up as memories in my phone a couple of weeks ago. I look at it every time.
Shout out to Terry Baskin. And it was, you second shot with her. It was a situation, but it was fun.
We had a good time.
We had a good time. Memories and things I will never forget. I know that we were in. So yeah, you guys who were there, y'all know what it was like. It was a book. What's a place that you've traveled in the past that you absolutely love or could possibly live there?
Ooh, do I have to pick?
One or two spots.
Yikes. I mean, a place, okay, this is easy to narrow down. A place that I will go back to and live, it definitely will be Mexico.
Okay.
Yeah, it definitely be Mexico. It's just some, I don't know what it is about Mexico, but it's just, oh, you know what? I know why I like it so much and I would go live there is because it forces me to slow down.
That's how I feel about Turks and Caicos. That is my.
I still haven't been. I'm going to go.
Yes, I will be there on Friday and I cannot wait. That is, it gives me a sense of peace and reminds me that I'm better than how I show up sometimes because of the hustle. It reinforces.
Oh, that's a word.
Take back my control. Like, girl, you don't have to, you know, island time, you know, like that's
yes,
its own thing. And last question, what is a bucket list item for you?
Bucket list item for me is going to Greece, and I get to check that off my list in May. So I'm very excited.
I swear, people say, oh, I travel a lot. You're the woman on the move. You find every retreat, conference, event, and they look so amazing, all of the ones that you go to. So y'all, if you are not following Natarsha on Instagram, she will let you know what is happening, what is popping, because she is in the mix Because I have like what is it, nose against the glass, like, dang, that looks like it's so much fun. So I'm gonna hit you up because I need to know like what's popping, because you always know the cool places to be.
Yes. I love it.
Yeah. Okay. All the things. But where can people find you on Instagram and social and all the things?
So on Instagram, that's where I hang out the most, at Natarsha, NatarShA underscore Wright, WRIGHT. And that's where you can find me. And once you find me there, you can just click the link in bio and then you can find all the other places. You can subscribe to my newsletter. That's where I talk a lot about grief, just in there. And I'm getting ready to come out with some exciting things around grief. So I'm very excited about that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yes, guys, stay connected with Natarsha. I love you. I appreciate you for sharing and, you know, your space and your time with me. And obviously I'll be in touch with you later, because we're friends in real life, y'all. But no, Natarsha, thank you for sharing. Like I said, we're in a special club of people that I don't ever want anyone else to have to be a part of the club, but it's a blessing to know that you're not alone. So thank you for the reminder of that on a daily basis.
Thank you. I love you, friend.
Bye.
Hey, friend. Thank you for spending time with me today. Don't forget to subscribe to the show to catch new episodes as soon as they drop. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a 5-star rating and a review. It really helps us reach more well-rounders just like you. For show notes and access to our free resources, visit livingwellroundedpodcast.com. And let's keep the conversation going over on Instagram. You can find us at I Am Living Well-Rounded.